Hello and welcome to episode 8 of Culture Tools. We are Heather and Shyla, the regional managers of Crown's Global Skills Team. I'm Shyla, I'm based in Hong Kong.
And I'm Heather, and I'm based in the UK. Each episode of Culture Talks, we are examining how culture talks in different areas, using our own stories as well as stories from those around us.
So last episode, we looked at culture and customer service. And this episode, we're actually discussing parenting and how challenging it is trying to be a parent in a new culture. So we all know the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child. So what happens when you move internationally and you don't have that village? Not just that support network, but also all that knowledge. How do you know if your teenagers are safe going to the mall by themselves? Or how much do you have to be involved in school? How do you build that knowledge of how culture impacts and talks within parenting? This is a key focus for anyone moving with children.
Yeah, totally is. Returning to us today, you'll be delighted to know it's not just us today. We have Lucia Zrastova joining us today. So she is our senior regional advisor. Obviously, you will remember her from episode 2. So we are all here today because we are parents. And so regularly, we all end up talking about different parenting experiences that we have. You know, for example, I'm raising my daughter here in the UK. She started state school last September at 4 years old. We're no longer paying a second mortgage for childcare. Shyla raised 2 now teenage sons in Hong Kong, and they both went to international school there. And Lucia's daughter is in Prague, and she's currently in state-funded, so free kindergarten, and she starts school next year, age 6. Lucia, thank you so much for joining us. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you. Excited to be here and, you know, to talk to you about this topic in particular, because as you said, this is something that we do discuss quite regularly, right?
We do. It's really interesting, this topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not only just us, you know, what I see when I speak to the parents that are relocating, there's like these two main parts of the parenting experience in a relocation. So there's this post-arrival adjustment, right? So you are then in the culture, you're just, you know, taking it all in. But there's also all the information that you need to find out before, ideally pre-departure. So the first thing you do is you join all the local Facebook groups, you try to connect to the local social media, and you just work out like who is moving at what time. You know, you're navigating the school holidays and all of that. And there's so many school options as well and the quality standards. So you need to figure it out, like if you're going to send your kids to a free one or a paid one, international, local, and even like taking care of this after school activities. Like imagine that your child is actually seriously doing some kind of sport. You want them to continue, right? So just like you said, Heather, all our kids have had very different options open to them depending on where we are living.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just options around school. You know, there are so many other things to think about. You know, if your child has medical needs or just understanding the medical system in general or the legal aspects that surround parenting, there's so much to understand. You know, like it's bonkers to try and get your head around.
Yeah. And we are going to talk a lot today about those differences, right? Yeah. But it's also important to note that for most relocating family, it's really worth taking up this opportunity. There's so many incredible opportunities that come from raising your children in a different culture. For, you know, for children, they build confidence and curiosity. They get a chance to learn another language. Mm-hmm. There's so much learning going on, so many ventures and growth for the whole family.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we want to dive into really deeply is, you know, that part, what happens post-arrival as a parent? Because you can do all of the prep and the research and join the Facebook groups and, you know, but what's the reality when you start to try and settle your family and build your village and adapt to that culture and yet still be the parent that you want to be?
Yeah, I think we spoke about this in the episode 2 when we described the relocation as you putting yourself in like a survivor kind of mode, taking care of like the basics first. And I think the same goes for parents relocating. You know, you just need to take care of the basics. You know, it's a whole adaptation process. And most parents will want to be more cautious and in control of where their kids are, what they are doing, you know, because everything is really about slowly establishing that kind of routine, the family routine. And once you have that routine, you can then start, you know, build up your network, and then your village will grow.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I see what you mean by building that routine. And it's then when you're further into that adaptation cycle, as you get to know more, then you start to realize and notice the norms and behaviors that now surround you in your parenting role in the new location, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's look at an example. So when it comes to hierarchy, and an example that we were talking about when we prepped this episode was when I was in Taiwan and I was working as a kindergarten teacher. And at a parent-teacher conference, I was talking to this mother about her son who was really tired at school. And the mum was really clear that she wanted me as his teacher to discipline her son, like in class, about this and to tell him to go to bed early and like not at 2 a.m.
Well, so you see, in Asia, often parents consider a teacher more of an authority figure and someone to respect. So much so that sometimes you see parents looking to teachers to set standards outside of school.
Yeah. And like, it just blew my mind a bit. I just, you know, obviously I still think about it because for me, you know, that was nothing to do with me. I'm just his teacher. That was, you know, for me, that's a parenting role.
Mm-hmm. But exactly. So from a hierarchy perspective, you were someone for the child to look up to and listen to. As for the cultural norms around disciplining, that's in the whole other story.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, as a parent, the idea that a teacher being expecting to be involved in something outside of school is actually very jarring to my cultural norms, you know, and especially, I mean, I also the idea of me being an authority figure in someone else's family is quite terrifying. It's bad enough being that in my own.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, especially because we are coming from a culture that when we are working in like a nuclear family.
Yes,
so the parent is the norm. It comes from us, right? Mm-hmm. But there are other cultures when the families are extended and there are other authorities that are taking like an important part in the children's life.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you see, here in Hong Kong, where many people have, you know, we have people who have helpers in their home. So they actually live with them and help them look after the children. And also grandparents get involved. So everyone has a role to play, including in disciplining the children in some cases.
Oh, yeah, that's hard to imagine. And even like imagine being disciplined as a parent, like somebody like I would call like external telling you like this you should do this or your child needs to do this, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, that would feel very strange.
Yeah. Well, and also another thing is imagine that you are in a culture where the norms and parenting style is so different from yours and you actually not comfortable with it. How do you navigate that when you don't agree with the, you know, how everything should be?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, people have such different ideas, right?
Yeah. And it's not only the parents. I think it's also the role of the child in the family and in the society. Like, for example, if we you know, talk about cultures like, you know, Spanish culture, like Greek or, you know, countries in Latin America, the children play a different part, a very important part. And they're part of the culture and, you know, social time and everything. They're just running around. If you travel to those countries, they are just running around, staying late. Mm-hmm. People talk to your child, you know, even touch them, they have, and it's because they like children and they're very, you know, part of the culture. If I'm telling you, if somebody comes to speak to my daughter here in Czech Republic in public and just like touches her hair, I would be like, alert mode, what's happening? You know, it's just so different.
Yeah. And it's so interesting to put it into that perspective of like, it's the role of the child in society and what are those societal norms that are governing that? Because you notice that when you go on holiday and, you know, versus the UK where often parents are kind of really counting down until 7 o'clock, which is bedtime, so they can, you know, crack open the wine and
on,
I don't know, EastEnders or something.
Well, going back to that point, you know, having different people involved in raising your children has such a different impact, right? Mm. On the one hand, it's so amazing to know you have that additional support, but it also sometimes changes what you might do or how you might build relationships as a parent. So, for example, if the helper picks up your children from school, when do you meet other parents? I even remember when I used to take my eldest to a baby class. I was the only parent with all the helpers going into the parent and child classes.
Oh, wow. That's so, because I took my daughter to baby classes, you know, it kind of wasn't really for her. It was for me in order to meet other parents, meet other people, like make friends, build my village. So, oh my God. So those classes, like, you know, there's so many questions, right? Like, is it okay to be friends with the helpers? Would they be comfortable with that? There's so much. Yeah, there's so much in that.
Yeah, I get this a lot in my calls with, our customers discussing intercultural training. It's like one of the topics is like the social connections, like how do I make friends? Do I need to? You know, the social aspect is very important to get the information and the knowledge of, you know, how things work. And I really believe that from the knowledge, that's when it comes the confidence and you start to like open up a little bit as a parent, you know. And, you know, to be honest, other parents can really provide also like kind of the reassurance. Have you ever been there to like, you need 100%. To be reassured?
That you're the amount just... of messages I've sent asking if I've broken my child. Yeah, I needed another parent to tell me it was okay.
So I think parenting is also a shared experience, right? So you need to like a local people like just to share and to discuss and get the information. So. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what happens with like sleepovers, like small things like how kids celebrate birthdays. So who do you invite?
Yeah. You know, what do you wear?
Oh, my God. Yeah. The dressing code. I think the audience needs to listen to that story in the episode, too. Traumatic for me.
Absolutely. So, yeah, there's a lot of culture wrapped up in that. Social etiquette, the unspoken behaviors of building relationships. You know, in fact, our colleague was telling us about Australia and how important it is if you want to be part of the, you know, community, you need to be really direct and go up to the parents at the school gates and just start up a conversation.
Yeah, the school gates relationship is also, you know, it's very governed by social rules here in the UK as well. It's probably less like direct, you know, small smiles, polite nods, you know, the cultural British norms around that. But actually then, you know, the school gates is a place where there are, you know, big deviations from that. You know, the parents of other four-year-olds, when they're all starting school, there's a lot of tears, there's a lot of emotion there, which is not kind of normal behavior. And it's not just the children. You know, I have bawled my eyes out in front of those strangers, which is not something that I would normally do. But, you know, I was surrounded by other parents who'd all gone through it and were going through it, and they kind of made it, they made it okay. And that was very, I don't know if I'd recommend it, but it was very bonding to like build relationships with other people.
Oh, well, you know what? I can share that I actually went back to my car and I cried by myself because it's it's just not done to show emotions, right? It's just not done.
Oh, that just breaks my heart. Yeah. There's such strong cultural norms around like the visibility of emotions and what's okay.
Yeah. Each culture really just works differently, you know. Yeah. It's just like it's from like how you get your kids to school. Like, for instance, like, do you take them or do they go by themselves? Mm-hmm. That's another thing. Like, I know from my experience in Czech Republic and from the experience when I'm talking to, you know, our customers, like in the Netherlands and Sweden, even in Japan, young children go to school by public bus or train by themselves. You actually see very small children just moving around by themselves. Well, that's not my experience in Mexico, for instance. My parents were driving me everywhere. Even if the school was like 5 minutes walk, they were just driving me.
So that's safety, right? It's normal to ask, you know, about safety issues, you know, like the what age is safe, and safety of children and the cultural expectation of community and that others will look out for your child is such a huge part of parenting in a different culture.
Yeah, totally. Like understanding different attitudes to safety is massive. I remember, just to give you an example, I remember when I was a teenager in Uruguay, I wanted to go out with my classmates and I told my mom, okay, so on Friday night we are going dancing, we are leaving at 10 p.m. And I asked them, and I think I'll be back for breakfast. And she was like, what? Are you joking? You're like 15. You're not going out for an entire night. And I was like, but like, that's what they do here. Like they go just on Friday and that's what's happening. So I did cause her a lot of like sleepless nights, but then she got used to it because she like knew she could trust me. That was okay that this is happening. Mm. And she let go a little bit. You know, you need to know before you let go.
Be awful.
I think it's control, right? It's where many of us get challenged as a parent, whether it's cultural or not, right? So here in Asia, there are interesting examples of different types of control, even before you become a parent, that are so normal. You know, many people have C-sections because it's kind of auspicious to check the zodiac, the Chinese zodiac, to check what time to have birth, you know, to give birth.
Wow, that's interesting. So there are many different attitudes and cultural norms around birth as well. How you give birth, where, with who, you know, Obviously, the mother needs to attend, but who else? You know, what kind of like medical interventions you will have before that, afterwards, how long you will stay in the hospital, all of that.
Yeah, so much culture underpinning like the societal norms around what is expected. Yeah, around yeah. that.
And it was a really like a big learning curve for us, right, Heather?
Because it was. Yeah.
We were just pregnant around the same time, and the experience we had with our pregnancy was so different and mm-hmm. so depending on, you know, how the culture works mm-hmm. around, you know, taking care of pregnant women and the care and the costs and everything was yeah. so different.
Yeah, it was so interesting because we literally had a side by side comparison yeah. at every point. I was like, well, you get another scan? Well, I don't get another scan here in the UK. It was just, yeah. you know, it's so interesting on a personal level. But then also in the work as well, we had to navigate that, you know, and it's something that companies have to navigate, you know, whenever employees and culture and parenting overlaps, because here we step away from just relocation chat and we, you know, it impacts on all businesses where their staff are being managed in different countries, you know. What is the law with regards family leave? How much time are they A, legally allowed? And B, what's the cultural norm to take? You know, maybe like in the US, maybe it's kind of a couple of weeks. Maybe in the UK, it's here. Like in the UK here, it's, you know, sort of 6 months or so. But, you know, maybe in Prague, you can take up to like 2 or 3 years. So there's a real yeah. difference there.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are other aspects of how work and parenting have a cultural learning to be established. In episode 5, Alyssa gave that really great example, if you remember, on a parent wanting to leave the office at 5 o'clock to be home yeah. with their kids. Yeah. You know, is that culturally acceptable? Is that something that you can choose to do? Or can you mm-hmm. take flexi time to go and watch your child in a swimming gala? Mm-hmm. Or does everything have to happen at the weekend or with annual leave?
Yeah. yeah. This is another topic that I often, you know, discuss with the parents. So basically, most of the times we have one parent that is taking care of the family and adaptation of the kids and so on. And mm-hmm. this parent many times just stay home mm-hmm. and do not work until much later after relocation. It could be even like 6 months that I, you know, that I have parents who are eligible for partner support services coming to me and say like, okay, I'm ready. You know, let's think about myself, you know, my career, like what are the options? So we already mentioned like it takes time putting yeah. yourself out of the like survival kind of mode to going back to yourself and, you know, reconnecting with your life really. Mm-hmm. And for a parent, that can be even a bit longer, you know, yeah. in the adaptation. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many more pieces to the jigsaw to try and kind of fit back in. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. You know, we have today looked at how culture impacts on parenting, you know, particularly all the adaptation and the learning that takes place post-arrival. You know, we've looked at how culture talks in areas such as hierarchy and discipline and the role of the child in society and meeting other parents and social etiquette and safety and control. And these are just some of the examples that we thought of and we didn't have time to do anymore. So, and even, you know, as we said before, with all of that learning, for most families, relocating with children is absolutely worth it. There are so many opportunities and you're exposed to such different ideas. And with all of that adaptation, you get to choose and adapt to the parts that work best for you. You know, you are able to find your own personal parenting comfort zone. So as ever, we want to leave you, our lovely audience, with a question to think about. Think about the way that you were raised. What were the cultural norms around how you were parented? And, you know, even in the present day, what differences in parenting in different cultures have you noticed? So thank you so much for listening. Lucia, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you.
Shaila, it is always a joy. Join us next time for episode 9 of Culture Talks.